Hi, loves. It's Pleasance here. I'm the author of Delight, 8 Principles for Living with Joy and Ease. And I teach holistic self-care and life design to super smart women just like you. Hope you enjoy the show. So welcome to the Soulful Self-Care Sessions. Today I have 2 guests on. This is the first time we've had 2 guests on, and we're all in different places. So this will be an interesting conversation. But today I have Mary and Emma Kingsley on, and they are the magnificent mother-daughter duo behind the Lady Farmer Lifestyle essentially, conference, farm, products, clothing, writing, teaching. You guys are doing so many wonderful things and ways for us to connect with your mission and connect with what you're doing. And so welcome to the show, Mary and Emma.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Of course, the minute I press record, Miller starts barking. He's literally been laying there quiet. It's hilarious. It's just so funny. The minute he hears me start talking, he's like,
that's my cue.
So everyone, that's okay. Bless Miller. Exactly. Okay, so how, one of you guys, tell us how you started Lady Farmer, and I'm really curious about how you guys decided to work together.
Who would you like to start? Emma, you want to give your piece and then I'll give mine.
Perfect.
Sure. So let's see, that was a 2-parter. I think the really beginning was that I saw this really life-changing film, this documentary that I think everyone should watch. It's called The True Cost, and I believe it's still on Netflix. If it's not, you could definitely find it for free online somewhere. The True Cost. And it was a film made, I believe, in 2015 or 2014, after the Rana Plaza collapse in Bangladesh, which was, if you aren't aware of that tragedy, it was a huge garment factory in Bangladesh that was way over capacity. And it was really just like they had been ignoring all of these structural problems, and it was forced labor and no windows and all of these horrible things. And finally that it collapsed, killing thousands of people. And come to find out, the Western world was like, there were brands like The Gap and Children's Place and companies like that whose clothes were being manufactured in this factory. So it was a really moving tragedy. And then this film was made, and the film is really beautiful because it sort of attacks the problem of the fast fashion industry, which is basically the fashion industry now, from all angles, the environmental, humanitarian, and the health problems of the fast fashion industry. And the thing about the way that it does it, it's not a depressing documentary. It's a very moving and inspiring documentary. And at the end, the filmmaker does a great job of empowering the viewer and saying, the cool thing about this is that we all wear clothes every day. And so we really have all the power, because we're, you know, it's a consumer driven economy. So I was like, wow, that's so cool. And this movie is just so moving, and I'm only going to shop sustainably and ethically now from now on. So that was kind of my first little nugget. And basically from there, I went on to find that stuff wasn't really there. I couldn't really find brands that I loved the style and aesthetic, and I was okay with the supply chain. And so that sort of led me to, maybe I could make this on my own, but I don't know anything about how clothes are made, or like, I just didn't know anything. And I also happened to be in a sort of in-between jobs point. So I think it was a combination of being really moved by this film and this movement, and then also, I had a lot of time, and I was in a really sort of vulnerable place of like figuring out what's next. And also at this time, because I was in between jobs and I was actually living in Boston at the time, sort of figuring out how much longer I'd be there, if I needed to move back home. My mom and I were on the phone a lot talking about a lot of these ideas. And so, Mom, I'll lob it to you.
Yeah, so in recent years, at the point of this these conversations Emma and I were having, it had been about 4 years when we had had a pretty dramatic change of lifestyle for our family. We had left the city and moved out here to this area and to a little farm. And it is something I always wanted to do, to live outside of the city, to have a little bit of land. It's not a great big deal of land, but and to be able to have a big garden and to play and be immersed in nature and have the animals. And this was a thing that we'd been thinking about for years. And so I'm living this lifestyle, and I'm a writer, so I don't have to go into an office every day or anything, fortunately. And so I work from home, and I was starting to feel like, the clothing wasn't right. The clothing was not fitting my lifestyle. It didn't feel like me. It didn't feel like what I wanted to be putting on my body. And Emma was telling me about all these things she was learning about the fast fashion, and I was learning along with her. And it was like, I don't want to wear these clothes anymore. And so we just started talking, and we said, well, we can do this. You know, we're creative people. We have ideas. We have ideas about what we want to wear and what we wanted to stand for. And let's do this, and let's design clothing. And we know a lot of women farmers out our way and in our community that we admire and love, and they're hardworking, and they want to wear cute things too. So let's call it Lady Farmer. So that's how it started.
It was really organic and wonderful, and it just it felt very much like it was something that was beyond us, sort of working through us. It wasn't like we came up with the idea. It was sort of we caught it.
It did. It had wings, if you know what I mean. Like we just came up with the idea, and it was like, yes, it just had this vibe to it that was it, and it has ever since too.
It totally does.
Really, there's air under its wings started immediately when we came up with it. So it's been really, really fun and exciting.
Okay, I want to back up a little bit though to something that's so awesome is that. What I'm really hearing from you both is that in Mary's story about leaving the city and building the farm, and did you know what you were doing, Mare, when you bought the farm and moved out there and decided to have all these animals?
No.
In terms of how to do it?
Uh-huh. Oh, no. YouTube is great. I think we'll get some chickens. What do they say about chickens on YouTube? Or, you know, let's look at a book and let's Google it. I mean, no, you know, you can get information on how to do this stuff. And we did it just little by little. I mean, we started out with the chickens, and then I saw a very moving and inspirational documentary about permaculture. It's called The Back to Eden Garden, I think that's the name of it, about this guy in Washington State that started this big area where he used deep mulch to convert land into a permaculture garden. And I was really inspired by that. So I started doing that, getting wood chips in and converting this about 7,500 square feet of horse pasture into a garden where I could grow things that weren't just the typical annual vegetables and things. I wanted to grow perennials, fruits, things that would be there for many years and even generations to come. And this idea of permaculture, which is kind of an alternative or the next wave of agriculture, was very fascinating to me. So I'm just learning as I go, you know, reading books and going to conferences and talks
Amazing.
You know, whatever I can get my hands on, it's very inspiring. And also a deep and abiding interest in plants and their value as medicine and superfood and curatives and healing. And all of it's all sort of tied in with a healing the earth and healing ourselves and healing our own separation from nature and the source of our sustenance, which is a whole nother conversation, but it's, I think, very, very pervasive in our culture. You know, people live sort of outside of the fact that they are as much nature as any other animal or plant or whatever. I mean, we are beings of nature. So the journey back to that and discovering it and writing about it and teaching about it and speaking about it. And about the time that we, Emma and I came up with this idea for this lady farmer, we had just converted our barn, or rather mm-hmm. built a new barn. The old one had to come down and we built a new one. And one half of it was for the animals. It had stalls and places for tools and all that stuff. And the other half of it was a kitchen where I could process the food from the garden and the herbs and do all my dehydrating and fermenting and canning, whenever all we were doing, a garden room where you could come and dump everything. It could sit there and, you know, be in the way until I could do something with it. It was a place for that. And then upstairs, that the hayloft, I'm using quotation marks with my fingers, it became a space, a multi-use space. And I have taught some yoga classes up there. Mm-hmm. And we've had meetings and community concerts and workshops, and Pleasance has taught yoga up there. Mm-hmm. And it's just been this awesome, beautiful space, and it faces east and west, so you get this, mm-hmm. get the morning sun and the evening sun, and it's just, and you know, everybody who's in there really enjoys it. So this thing kind of grew. It just grew, being at the farm and being immersed in nature and acquiring the animals. We got the ponies. The ponies were all rescue animals, and like we knew nothing about ponies or horses, but you know, we learned, and they're wonderful. And then sheep, we wanted to have some sheep. We wanted the experience of being able to produce our own wool, possibly to use in the hopefully near future on some lady farmer products. And so it just, did we know what we were doing? No, but you can always learn. This is a world of information.
I know that, but I just don't think, like, because I know you personally and you're so ridiculously humble about the amazingness that you are, do you understand? How old were you when you moved out and bought the farm, Mary?
Mid-50s.
Okay,
yeah.
So again,
people are
usually saying things like, well, I didn't do that in this life, so I guess I'm never going to, or I don't know how to do that, so I'm not going to. And the thread that I want to pull on everything that you're doing, and the reason I think this is so important, is because you literally lived your life this way, and you have created this amazing, wonderful daughter, who I also know very well personally, to do the same thing. Right?
Yeah, like, mom.
Here's M not seeing an issue. I just want to celebrate that and honor that, you guys, because we live in a world where people are micromanaging their kids. They're helicoptering. They're not trusting them. They're saying, well, I mean, I literally, we're just recently in the past 6 months heard a parent talking about if her fourth grader didn't go to the right high school, what her life was going to be like. And my heart broke because all I kept thinking was, how do you know? Like, we don't know what's going to happen. And when we live our life pretending that we know and we make this plan, do you know what you miss out on? That delicious juiciness that you guys are creating, right? By paying attention.
Yeah. I think I'm learning that. I'm learning that lesson now even more. I mean, I'm still learning that lesson as a parent. You know, when I was a young parent, I didn't know that as much as I do now. Like these adults these children that you bring into the world, they come with more of a knowledge of their life blueprint than you do, actually. And I know from experience as a young parent, it's very, very hard to recognize that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm the first to admit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my kids have shown me mm-hmm. That more than my just innately knowing I can't, you know, I don't think I'm just being humble. I just, you know, I recognize my three kids as my three greatest teachers, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning a lot from them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I admire each and every one of them. And so, but also, so I guess back to your question about what, go ahead. Go ahead, Emma.
Oh, no, I didn't know if you were going to finish the thought, finish your thought. But I do have something.
go ahead.
I love it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Also, kind of repeating another way what my mom just said, not being humble and not being humble for my mom. But when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, like from 0 to 6, see, like from, we didn't start out in DC either. We lived in like metro Atlanta suburbs. So even farther from the farm. There were little things I remember, like my mom just, I mean, we were like, it was like a swim tennis community. We, you know, mom did the book club and got her nails done. It's like funny mm-hmm. things that you're like, Mary. mm-hmm. But she like wouldn't put chemicals on our yard, and that was like a really big deal. So there were just like these little things all along, and even mm-hmm. though like that was super far from the farm, and she just was, I was like, oh, I kind of want a farm. It was like this back of the head type of thing, and like, oh yeah, mom wants a farm. And it was never like, oh, that'll never happen. And it was also never like, oh, we're so far from that. I don't know, it just kind of, to your point, Pleasance, there is a, like it's been a long time, or not a super long time, but these things don't happen overnight. And it's just, no. It's over and over again, like following the little sparks that sort of keep you going. And that doesn't feel to, in that way, it feels very natural that we're here. Right. It's not like, I mean, sometimes totally. We obviously pinch ourselves, you know, like, oh wow, this is so amazing. But you have to kind of like remind yourself to pinch yourself. You'd be like, wait a second, this is awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So there's that too.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, going back to the days, in the suburbs when, you know, and I'm not going to talk badly about the suburbs. I mean, where we were, it was a great place to have kids. You know, we had wonderful mm-hmm. schools and all these great offerings for my three creative children. You know, it was really good for them, and in many ways. And but I would, back in those days, while they were in school, sometimes I would just get in the car and just drive out in the country. You know, because I needed some kind of immersion, you know, and I didn't know how to articulate the need or something. It was just it was an urge. It was a yearning, you know, I'm needing something here, you know? And so it's looking for that for a long, long time without even really knowing what form it was going to take, you know? Mm-hmm. And I knew it had, you know, it had something to do maybe with land, but it had more to do with the feeling. It had, the word immersion keeps coming to me, where I can walk out my back door and I'm surrounded by plants and animals and birds and creatures and things I've grown, things I haven't grown. It's, you know, it just has called to me for a long time.
And how does that feel, like having that? Like, is it even stuff, word, are there feelings that you can even put into words? Like, I've been on your property so much and I love it. Like, yeah. Love is just not even the right word. Like, it's so spiritual, it's so connected, it's so clean. It's just like, oh, I just feel like when I'm there, I'm just breathing and I'm alive, and all the people that I'm always there with, right? Whether I'm there with mother daughters and or the mother daughter horses or you guys or your events, like, or just coming out to visit, right? Is it just always feels like this deep connection of care that really is often missing from my life, you know?
Yes. It definitely is a nurturing, healing space.
And you say it feels
what
like a beach.
I personally
it feels like a what? Em?
Oh yeah, it feels like the beach. The beach.
Oh yeah,
the
yeah.
beach.
Yeah.
Like yeah. we're sitting out there in the evening, going, "Hey, this is like the beach." You know, we're sitting there looking out of the view, and the breeze is blowing. But what I have to watch out for is letting it become like looking around and seeing everything that needs to be done. I have to be on guard about that.
Oh, and, this is so,
you know, just letting it.
Yes. And I imagine, so when I lived in yeah. Israel, this reminds me so much. When I lived in Israel, yeah. I had a choice between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Did I ever tell you this? And I chose Tel Aviv yeah. because I didn't want Jerusalem to become something that I was like over. Something yeah. that like didn't have that mm-hmm. sacred specialness anymore. And somehow the little 19 or 20 year old inner self, inner wise elf, Sark calls her, but like that thing that you are guided by in your life knew that if I move to Jerusalem and live there for 6 months, that possibly I'd lose that. So I hear what you're saying about like, this is so special. And I'm like, oh, I have to weed this and I have to let that out. Like that the daily yeah. routine, that it's not all unicorns and roses, right? Mm-hmm. And magic.
Yeah. Right. And I do I have to be on guard about that. And the idea of permaculture has helped a lot. It has mm-hmm. helped a whole lot with that because mm-hmm. permaculture is really different from pulling out every weed. And permaculture is about mm-hmm. What is showing up in your garden and your property and why is it there? You know, there's a reason for it to be there. It's coming to heal you in some way or teach you in some way. And so instead of jerking it up because it doesn't go with my landscape plan, why is it there? And that's part of the learning and that's a whole nother thing. But anyway, Emma, you might want to speak to this whole thing. I don't know. It kind of comes up in terms of the business too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, for me, it's because I never like lived there as a youth, or like was in school while I was there. My parents, they moved there my senior year of college. So it really, especially before I moved back full time, it really felt like it was a vacation every time I was there.
Yeah.
Which was so special. And for anyone who as an adult has had parents make a, you know, not too emotionally disrupting good move, I think they can probably understand because it's usually somewhere that's cooler maybe than where they used to live. So that's been fun with the business and, you know, with my, I mean, there's all kinds of things. I mean, I love living at home and it's great. We have a great relationship. But I don't want it to be, I worry sometimes like, should we be like Instagramming this right now? Or like we should be blogging about, I don't know. It's kind of like, I just want to like live it. And I don't want it to become, you know, and our main thing that we get for our business is like, you need to share more of you guys and you need to post about the farm more and like what you're doing on the farm today. And yes. Like I totally get that. And we want to share that. And that's why, you know, that's what Lady Farmer is. That's why we started Lady Farmer. But I also am so sensitive to those boundaries because I also don't, I don't know. It's hard to start a brand that is out of the bottom of your heart because it's like,
oh,
you really,
yes.
Yeah.
I know a little something about this topic.
Branding yourself.
Yeah. I feel a little bit protective about it sometimes. Really just as when it comes to the, to the internet. I don't know. I mean,
yes.
I mean, like, not really. I mean, might be making it sound dramatic, but it does become, back to the first point, it can, or I have a fear of it becoming, and does become sometimes more of a chore or a thing that we have a responsibility to talk about as opposed to just, like, be. That can be. And so I am lucky enough to also have a place in the city where I can stay. You know, I have good mm-hmm. friends in the city and my boyfriend lives here. So I feel like when I need fast internet or I need a break, I'll come to the city. And I really, really need that time away because then every time I come back, it's my special place. I don't want to be stressed out there. I don't want it to be a work, like work stress when I'm at the farm because it's so special. So I kind of have to work to keep that separate.
So, yes. And there's no guidebook. There's no direction. Like, we've never been in a world where these lifestyle brands and like the inspiration behind teaching what we want to teach and share has been so public. And then if your social media presence is about inspiration and education, which is kind of like how I think about that line of when to post, when not to post, because I feel so similar. Like, I basically built a retreat, mini retreat centers in like every room in my home. I I'm obsessed with this very privileged life that I'm leading, where I get to do what I love to do every single day for work, which is read awesome books, share podcasts, mentor amazing women, put women in groups and circles with candles and incense. Like, oh, my senses, it's so delicious, I can't breathe, you know? And really listening to when it feels right to share, and when it feels right to take a break, and when it feels like I just want to live this and breathe this, and when it feels like this, I want to share this. And I don't know. I don't have any answers for that, except that I think about it, and that I try to balance it energetically, balance it with not getting addicted. Actually, this is what the thing that I think about a lot is, that if I feel like I'm in the habit of over posting and sharing about my personal life, I just take a break. Just like if I feel like I'm drinking too much coffee, I just take a break. Yeah. And then that break helps me recenter and figure out, come back to sort of that in the middle, right? In like, not too tight, not too loose. And then I'm like, oh, okay, this is a good place for me to hang out.
And
I find
with this, I want to speak to what,
oh go ahead.
We're not in the same room, so it's hard.
It's okay.
So hold your thought, Emma. What I was going to say to Pleasant, respond to what Pleasant said just a minute ago was you said this space where we're living our lifestyle and representing it at the same time in a public way, and the like branding of yourself or branding of your life or whatever, that's so interesting. And what I realized we're struggling with, like, the whole idea of Lady Farmer and what we're doing and what we're teaching, is how to try to do things a different way, because the way that things are done typically and conventionally are running us all into the ground. So so we're trying to create alternatives, not just in the clothing, but also in, like, and you do this too, Pleasant, you know, time management, how to work through your day without feeling like burnout at the end of it, and all this stuff that we're teaching, slow living. We are sowing seeds of slow living. That's our tagline. But in accomplishing that and getting out there, you fall into the trap of having to do things the way they're always done, because that's the way that's proven to get it done. And it's kind of a vicious circle, and you find yourself, I'm not doing what I'm talking about doing. And so it's a constant checking in. So anyway, go ahead, Emma, what are you saying?
Yeah, I was just going to say when it is like that, I find the sharing very hard, and I'm super resistant to it. And then what I do come up with, I'm like, that's fake. And I can't post it. So I, you know, there are stretches where we're not posting a ton because we just like really need a break from it. But alternatively, when I give myself the space and I feel like I have the energy to give, to pour out, it's like we produce some of our best work, and we see people really responding, and it's like, oh yeah, it's like, this is why we're doing this. But it can't be this like posting three times a day and blah, 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 and blah, blah, like all those like things to follow. It's too much.
Yeah, I think it's just a fast. I'm just excited to see like what will happen in the future. And Mare, I'm totally with you on the like, okay, why would I do it? If so-and-so, this happened a lot in the yoga studio world, is that I would go and see my friends who own studios, and behind the scenes, this is before I owned the studio, behind the scenes, they'd say, oh, I've never paid myself, or, oh, we've been in the red for 25 years, or, oh, we hire back people. Like, they would tell me things. And so then when I went to go build the studio, and people would say to me, oh, did you talk to so-and-so from that place? And use their model, I'd be like, no, I'm not using their model. Their model doesn't work. Like, they're not paying themselves or they don't have it. And so it's so funny how many people did that to me. And I'm so thorough because I'm so obsessed with learning and research and like just people that like I would have all these conversations and then be strategic about building something that was different. And that's how I feel about any of those rules. So in like Gretchen Rubin had something called the four tendencies where it's like how you make habits and expectations, right? We teach it in Thrive. And mine, I'm a questioner. So for me, it's like, if it doesn't make sense, why on earth would I do it? Like it just, and that's what I say all the time. If so many women are struggling with boundaries, perfectionism, fear, being living by fear, like not having trust. Like these are the issues that come up over and over and over again when I'm in circles with women. I'm like so passionate about like picking at that and pulling it apart to say like, well, what is creating that? And in that case, when people say things to me like, do you want to go get a full-time job and work for a corporation or blah, 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 I'm like, why would I do that? That's leading to this cycle. And so it plays out in so many ways when we don't ask the questions and get underneath it. And I think that's also what I'm pointing out when I'm talking about how Mary went on, you know, sort of had this mission and it came to life and was more living by love and not guided by fear. Because both of you right now could totally, I mean, you're probably, I would imagine, in those first 3 to 5 years of any business, hitting so many hurdles along the way, right? There's so many things you have to learn. Yes. There's so many things you've never done before. And there are so many opportunities for you to shut down and to be afraid. And that's not what you guys are doing. And so I just really want to honor that I see you guys seeing these challenges, seeing the things that arise in new businesses, and you have a lot of arms of your business. So you have, a variety of complicated things to think through and just really sticking with it. It's amazing to watch. I'm really proud of you guys. I'm really proud of you guys. The last question that I have for each of you separately is, I want you to tell me, Emma, go first and then Mary. What are you excited about in your business right now? And what's a something that you're chewing on or you're thinking about? So the sort of cheers and jeers, but I like more like chewing than jeers.
Okay. So my first thing, my cheers, is that especially coming off, we had the first inaugural DC Sustainable Fashion Collective Symposium this weekend, which is amazing. This is a group of incredible women, four different women from different backgrounds in fashion and sustainability came together like at the beginning of 2018, this year, and said, let's do this symposium thing. And Mom and I were so honored to be asked to speak at it. And it was a wonderful gathering of amazing people in the industry, and people came in from New York and actually all over. And so I'm excited now coming off of that and seeing, the kind of, you know, a lot of what we're doing being affirmed in the long view of sustainable manufacturing and tying it to sustainable agriculture, and sort of these ideas that we have sort of come up with on our own, but also then being reminded, like, they're not our ideas, they're real ideas, they're out there, other people are doing them too. And that's like very exciting because it's like world changing stuff. It's not like, what's so fun about this world is, and I hope it stays this way, the sustainable fashion and the progressive world of like, there's not competition in the way. And I think that this is, I kind of touched on this on Saturday too. It's the more of a feminine principle of connectedness and circularity unity instead of race to the top, race to the, be the first to market, be the first to do this, be the first to that. And if someone else does it, then we can't. Like it's that lack mindset as opposed to an abundance mindset. So sort of where we are now is all of these ideas that we're talking about and these things that we want to see put into place. Other people are talking about them too. Other people are doing them too. Other people are excited about them. And to me, that's just like, so exciting. And it means that we're on the right track. And I think it's a cool thing to be a part of. It's very invigorating. And yeah, like I'm talking about like reshoring manufacturing and planting hemp to regenerate the soil, to reverse climate change, to make beautiful clothes, like all these really, like, you're right. We have no idea how we're going to be doing that, but I just feel like we're on this track for that. And then my GR ring is, especially right now, how do we get, you know, the bite-sized pieces of the day-to-day, get through them, the things that do not spin our wheels and, in fact, totally lock us up and paralyze us and overwhelm us, like the marketing and the CRM software and the project management that we're both just, I mean, I always say this in a bad way, but I really think it's not bad. We're the same in that we are right-brained idea people, which means it's like beautiful explosions of awesome ideas all the time, but we don't have a balance on our team yet of the left-brained, you know, sort of detail. And we really need that, you know, we're just sort of moving. We're phasing out of that first like honeymoon startup time. Mm-hmm. Like we're moving into our third year of business. And mm-hmm. so it really is like business, like capital B. And we've just like really, really need help, with these things that just have to happen, the structural stuff, to move the beautiful ideas forward. So that's what I'm chewing on.
Thanks. I appreciate your honesty with it. I like to be honest and clear, because I think, again, there's this whole very daydreamy, we're farmers and we make our own clothes and we're lifestyle, that we obviously have in the yoga, meditation, spiritual world. And I'm also like, and I run QuickBooks, like, and I emails, right? And I work with websites, like the things that people are like, I don't want to do that. So I appreciate the honesty. All right, Mares, what do you think, babe?
Okay. So just continuing on what she said about what we encountered this weekend was like super affirming, because what it makes me realize is, you know, we started this thing like a little over 2 years ago, and it was just an inkling we had. Mm-hmm. And this organization the event that we attended on Saturday that had all these people there and all these speakers, they had just started like a year ago. And the point being that we're on the front end of something that's really growing fast.
Yeah.
And it's really deep. It's deep and wide. And it was so exciting. Like, we're there. I was so exhilarated by that. We were there. And we've had our brand for a little over 2 years now. And we were like, you know, we've kind of been at it longer than a lot of the people there. you know, not that we know what we're doing yet, but it was just super affirming. And awesome. And so what were the three things? What were the three parts of the question? Tell me.
So again. Just two. What's something that you're super excited about that's going well? And then what's the area of like, oh, this is a little bit more challenging, or I'm thinking about what we're going to do with this.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So the more challenging part I'll do first is, and Emma alluded to this, is like the really nuts and bolts part of it, the marketing, the things that, and what is marketing? Marketing is letting the world know you're there. So you can't like not market, you can't not talk to people on your email list, because they are on your email list because they want to hear about you. So it's just really hard to draw the line between like, you know, treading lightly on people's privacy and their nerves and all of that, and letting them know that you're here and what you have to offer, because what we have to offer is really, really coming from our hearts and really coming from a deep place. Mm-hmm. And so we've been talking lately, either jokingly or not, about anti-marketing.
Yeah.
And we don't know exactly what it means, but I think, I don't know, just dreaming about what is anti-marketing. And what I really mean by that is finding a different way, just like we're finding a different way of producing clothing that doesn't involve slavery and pollution and all that. Maybe looking and searching and experimenting with a different way of letting people know we're here and what we have to offer.
Yeah.
So that's the part about that's a little difficult. And what are we going to do from here? And, you know, do we just hire a marketer and let them like do everything? Maybe. Or do we kind of figure this out and we figure out a new way mm-hmm. or something else? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then the thing I am really excited about that I think is going well is I am really excited about our retreat coming up in November because we have assimilated and gathered just all of this great stuff, and it represents everything we talk about. You know, sowing seeds of slow living and it's food and clothing and your time and how to yourself, how not to get burnout, and all these things are assimilated into these 2 days. I'm very excited about that and how that has come together very organically.
Yeah, too. That's so, how I want to close is tell us about the conference and how it came to be, and then what you guys envision about for the weekend.
So
Emma, do you want to speak?
Sure. Well, we chose a place that was not our home. A lot of people think that it's at our house. Our house is amazing, but for many reasons that I'm sure you can understand, that would be a lot mm-hmm. for this particular event. So we chose a place that, like our home, represents everything that we, you know, place is so important and just and for everything. So we were really excited about the place in particular. It's a farm, just a little over an hour north of DC, a little over an hour west of Baltimore, just outside Frederick. It's beautiful. And the space itself has been refurbished ecologically. So it's straw bale insulation and geothermal heating, and it's got green roofs, and it's just really amazing. Anyways, besides that, besides being in a beautifully inspiring place, we've drawn together some of our favorite people and the ideas that they bring to the table to offer workshops. And then another part that's so important to us is food and being connected to our food and where it comes from. So we've found this amazing caterer who's going to be sourcing all hyper locally, just from farms right around. And we aren't using any single use plastic. We're zero waste is super important to us. We already make so much trash, so we don't need to make any more. And just it being a physical and experiential representation of all that we are. I mean, I think, you know, thank goodness for Instagram, or literally, I don't think our business would be what it is, but also it's so good to get out from behind Instagram and from behind the email newsletters and really have a real high touch experience, as they say. So that's sort of what I'm picturing. I'm picturing just like a big old girl party of love.
Yeah. Who do you think it's good for? Like who are the kinds of people that you think will really enjoy it?
I think it's, go ahead, Mom, you answer.
I was going to say people who, women who, they feel like they're looking for something, and they have this yearning. They don't exactly know what it is, but they're attracted to the messages of beauty, simplicity, and sustainability, and they're pulled toward this, and they don't exactly know what that looks like. But they come and they say, and they hear a lot of different ideas on those topics. I mean, this is a complex thing. It's multi-leveled. But it's something, rather than saying it's a complex thing, I would say something to approach from many, many different angles. And it's a place for us, as Emma said, to talk about what we want to talk about, to sow the seeds of slow living face to face instead of over email and whatnot. And we just are really, really pulled by that idea and are just really looking forward to it.
Who, can you give us the specifics and logistics? It's what weekend and where can they sign up?
Yes, it's the long weekend in November. It's Veterans Day weekend. So it's actually the 10th and 11th are the main workshop days. We will be there from Friday night through Sunday, but all of the housing on site is filled up. There are lots of area hotels and Airbnbs. I have all that information. If you're interested in staying the full weekend, then you're welcome to, but just saying that there are no more on-site beds. But that being said, if you want to come for just the Saturday night, so you get the Saturday and Sunday programming, or just one or the other. So we have, you can buy a full weekend pass, which includes all of the programming. You can buy a Saturday pass where you can register for just Sunday, and the programming differs just a little bit. All of that information is on the website. It's on ladyfarmer.com, and there's a slow living retreat tab. You can click on and read all through it. I will also say, I don't know how quickly this podcast is going up, but we are going to have to raise the prices in just like 10 days. We have like early bird pricing. As we get closer to, we're going to need to bump up the prices. So now is the time to register if you haven't already.
What's the date that you're raising the price? Do you know?
October 10th.
Okay, cool. So yeah, we'll put this out this week so that people have time and to register. And I am super excited for the gathering because I've already met some of the other presenters and the women that you attract. And I'm just super excited to be there for the weekend doing what I love more than anything to do. And because I can't, everyone who's been listening to the podcast knows that I can't have a conversation without bringing up race and privilege and spirituality these days and in sort of everything I do. And Mary and I were texting about figuring out a way to have a conversation at the conference, again, in person and live, really addressing this, because I think a lot of these issues that we're talking about are still, unfortunately, very privileged conversations. And I might be wrong because I'm not in touch with all these other communities the way that I am with the yoga, mindfulness, and meditation communities that really don't address this. And so one of the things that I sort of always want to do when I'm in a circle with, whether it's, you know, whoever I'm in a circle with, is bring up this topic and say, how are we bringing a level of awareness and our mission and our hearts of social justice into this work that we do, where a lot of these conversations are very homogeneous right now. So I think I don't have any answers for it. I just like talking about it so that we kind of bring it to awareness. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at with it.
You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Pleasance, everybody we talk to is about it is super excited about your workshop that you're going to be doing there. It really is pulling people's interest. So thank you.
Yeah. Yay. Ayurveda saves the day, like always. Everyone's be saying it. Yeah. I'm like a broken record. I'm like Ayurveda's biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. It just makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. I'm like, why did I not know this my whole life? Okay, so to close, I just want to say thanks. I want to say thanks to you guys for showing up and being the awesome selves that you are. Being role models in this work of just really going after your dreams and creating ideas based on areas that you see in the world that need that love and attention and care. And then also really combining it and integrating it with nature, with harmony, with earth, and with your own divine feminine power, like not just being in the hustle. I mean, just like what Mary was saying, how do we think about running the business and bringing this to the world while we still actually are of the earth, while we still actually can breathe in our lives. And I just really appreciate that because I know that that's something that I'm always working with and thinking about and putting my actual like life ahead of my work feels really important because I think there's too many models where the work is ahead of the life, you know? Or the work becomes the life.
Yeah.
Also.
Yes.
And the marketing topic, the last episode, last week's episode with Megan Leahy, or 2 weeks, we actually talk about this. So I want you guys to go listen to it, because we talk about scarcity marketing and as coaches and wellness, and how irritated we are by it and how we're just going to do it a different way. And so if that means we have less followers, or less, then that's what we're going to do. But we wanted to bring to everyone's attention that a lot of scarcity mentality in this world with females and not feeling enough is not our fault. It's literally been shoved down our throat by these marketers who keep telling us we're not enough, so we have to buy this thing or sign up for this program. So I think you guys will like that episode, because we just are like, hey, do you guys know what the marketers are saying about you? Like, we wanted to put it on the podcast so regular, wonderful, amazing 9-to-5 women who are, you know, listening to this on the way to and from work, understand what the marketing language and techniques are, what they are, and how that works.
Yeah,
I did not know that. I didn't know until I was in this world. Oh my gosh, this is what they do?
Yeah, and you guys probably talk about this, but I just learned, like, recently, you know, the term hypnotic. It's literally hypnotic language. They're like, they literally hypnotize you through their language. It's like isn't that crazy? I mean, I don't know, like, how to do it, but that's something.
Like, one of the and CRM, I don't want to know how. That's part of
I know. Like, I know.
Right. Totally.
Someone early on in the CRM world was like, yeah, and then you write like a hypnotic headline, and I was like, haha, hypnotic. And he was like, no, it's like, that's like a, what they call it. I was like, what? It's so creepy.
So creepy. Yeah. We talk about, like, pain points.
It gives new meaning to the, I was going to say the hypnotic thing gives new meaning to the term waking up.
Totally. Well, that was it. It's like, how do you know? You don't even know this is going on. You wouldn't even, I mean, literally just under that umbrella. Exactly right. Waking up and wake up to what they're saying. And what are those patterns? If you're like late at night and scrolling, and another program is saying, this is the one way, right? Like, I did this, and this is the way you do it. And if you don't sign up because the doors are closing in 24 minutes and we're only taking one more person and we're never going to tell you the price, like, all of that pain point, like, it's just driving us mad. And we just feel like the more that we talk about it, actually, openly and kind of shine light on it, that people will wake up to it and realize, like, who's doing the work, because it's actually, they have skills and tools and they've actually been integrating it themselves, versus who's hustling and watching another online marketing webinar trying to build. I mean, this happens in the business coaching world. People who've never built businesses are business coaching. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
How can you know what to do if you've never done that? So we always just want people to be aware, exactly what you said, wake up and be aware of what's happening. Because real life is, the sun, the trees, go hug those trees.
I like what you said. I like what you said about shining light on it, because, you know, and I've written about this recently in some blog or something. So many of these things are in the shadow. Some of these are in the shadow of these systems we live under and with, and these systems that provide everything we need every day, and just merely shedding a light on it so you can really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Then you can choose something different. You can choose to act differently. You can choose a different decision. But when we don't know, it's in the dark. There you go. So,
And I'm not in the business of hurting people or shaming people. And a lot of, I think, the language around the pain points and the business part is very manipulative.
Yeah. Oh, like, you're not good enough. Support, so you need this, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I know, like, I know what's right for you.
Yeah.
Cause I don't, like, everything that we teach is like, how did that feel? And is this right for you? Or maybe it's this thing, or like, it's just so much more individual, you know. There's some general themes that we can all, like, touch on and talk about, but how on earth could I do that for someone else? That just feels so, it feels like it's really taking away their power, right? And so if masculine energy has been marketing, and so much of that dynamic has been taking away the power, of course that's what we're seeing. So now is this rise in divine feminine leadership is happening.
Yes.
we're having these conversations. And it's like, we don't have to do it that way. I can have a really wonderful life and successful business without making you feel like crap. Yay. Yeah. Right? I mean,
Right.
So, okay, I love you guys. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And everything is at ladyfarmer.com, right?
Not .com.
Yes.
On Instagram, where we are Lady Farmer.
And we're on Facebook. Anywhere else you want them to follow?
Facebook.
Cool.
Facebook. And we're Lady Farmer on Facebook. And yeah.
Awesome.
So. Thank you. This was really fun talking.
See you soon.
Love you.
Love you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.